Time to get started. Good to see everyone. I want to welcome everyone to Church of Christ this morning. Speaker this morning will be Ernie. Looking forward to his lesson. First song will be My Name is in the Book of Life. It's 534 in the book if you want to go with the book. So we'll sing this song. Hope things go right with this new technology. So at this song, we'll stand for opening prayer. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know, my name is there. I know. My name is written there. My name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record. But by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his roll. I know. My name is there. I know.
Our God and our Heavenly Father, we come thanking Thee at this time for another day of life, for the many blessings that You bestow upon us daily, Father. Help us to be mindful of this and to be thankful of the things that You bless us with each day. Pray for those that are in our bulletin and those we know of that are suffering at this time with many ailments and problems, that You might meet their needs as You know best. Help us, Father, to be caring, to be caring and do those things that we can to be helpful. We pray, Father, now that You'd be with Ernie this morning as he presents Your word to us. Help us to be doers of Your word and apply these things to our lives that we might be better servants for Thee. Many times we fall short, Father, and we pray that You'd forgive us of those things where we do err, and that we might come back and be stronger and be a better servant in the future. We pray for this church as we've studied this morning, that we might be in unity in Your word, Father, that each one of us might strive to serve Thee to the best of our ability. And we pray that someday that we all might be together in that heavenly home that You've prepared for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our next song will be Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold. Forsaken,
turn it over to Brother Ernie.
Good morning, church. Well, I'll start out by welcoming our internet audience, those folks who are out there. As you can tell out there, that I have a face better for radio than for video. Much better for radio. This morning I have a lesson from a preacher, his outline. He's been here once or twice, but that's at the old building years ago. Brother Jess Nutter, that was Brenda's uncle. Very good man, very good preacher. I hope I can do this lesson sermon outline he left behind some justice and do him some justice. And I will try to do what he always preached. 20 minutes and shut up and sit down. And he was quite a character, a good man. Jim and I was talking about before services this morning that he had this believe and be baptized equals saved. It's not saved, then be baptized, and be saved. No, it's believe, be baptized, and be saved. And that's what the book says. And just really believed in that. This morning we're going to talk about probably the most important thing we need to do as Christians, and that is please God. We don't need to please ourselves. We don't need to please someone else. We need to put God first and please Him first. The word please, according to Webster, means to be agreeable to give pleasure to satisfy. In Webster's illustration of the use of the word, he says, as to please God and do His will. Some form of the word please shows up in the Bible 106 times. Men pleasers shows up twice. So what should we do is the word please. Our society has actually forgotten what please, thank you, those little words, how much they do mean, and they are very important to us. The word as it relates to our relationship with God has a definite impact not only on the present, but also our future well-being. How does one please God? That is the focus of this lesson. Hopefully I can get some of these ideas across to you. We're also going to talk about some things that displease God. So we'll know what to do to please Him and what not to do to displease Him. The Bible places great emphasis on pleasing God, and that is what Christianity is all about. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us, now we ought to walk and to please God, so we would abound more and more. Pleasing God was Christ's ultimate goal and mission. In John 8, verse 29, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I do always these things that please him. And that's one example we need to put into our hearts. We need to please God, not please men, not to please ourselves, but God. He's the important one. And sometimes we overlook that. Enoch's life was composed with pleasing God. In Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. From before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That'd be one of the greatest testimonies any of us could have, that we please God. Receiving an answer to prayers hinges upon pleasing God. 1 John 3, verse 22, and whosoever we ask, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The Bible not only tells us what pleases God, but what displeases him. Let's consider both, that we might do the things that please him and avoid those things that do not. Some things which God is displeased with: they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We can't be in this world and try to please God, because it's too much of a conflict. We can't please both. By this, Paul means living to satisfy the flesh. In Romans 8, 5 through 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to spiritual-minded is life and peace. And what do we really need in life? Sure, it's sometimes kind of fun to have a laugh or two or whatever, but sometimes we need to have that inner peace. It's a quiet spot. I don't know if any of you guys ever go out in the woods or by a fishing pond. One thing I always really relax me, you sit down by a river or a stream and watch that water just flow by gracefully. Our daughter, oldest daughter, she lives down on the High River. And sometimes you go down there and you sit there and you see these big barges going past and look kind of effortlessly, but they're going upstream. They're going against the current, but they go up and down that river, and it just looks so calm and peaceful. And that's what trying to be spiritual can do for you. Give you that inner peace that we all need. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In Galatians 5, 19 and 20, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. To do these things is displeasing to God. And most of those things are displeasing to your neighbors and your friends and your relatives. It's just not a good thing to do. God also don't like a backslider. Does not please God being a backslider. In 1 Corinthians 10, 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They had been baptized into Moses, then murmured, committed fornication and idolatry. this Paul wrote should serve as an example for us that we should not lust after evil. And there's enough evil in this world. The evil things that of this world are boundless. In 1 Corinthians 10:6, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. That was talking about when Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. They quickly forgot how the Egyptians had treated them, how they had been worked and beat so hard. But we humans forget things pretty quickly sometimes. Jesus warned against backsliding also in Luke 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to look forward, not backwards. We know where we've been. We need to see where we're going. If we don't watch where we're going, we're going to stumble and fall, and that won't be a pretty thing. Withholding the word of God. Once we get the word of God into our hearts and we've obeyed God, we shouldn't withhold it. We need to spread that word. We shouldn't hide it. We need to keep it out there. In 1 Thessalonians 2:15-16, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, talking about the Jews here, and have persecuted us, and they pleased not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their own sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Emilius was guilty of this in Acts 13:8. But Emilius the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And Paul looked upon him with his eyes and blindness fell upon Emilius and he couldn't see for a season. Now, back when my girls were home, they said I had that eye. I would just look at them and kind of stare them down, and they hated Dad's evil eye. They just did not like that very well at all. It made him very uncomfortable. I could understand how Paul could cast that eye upon someone. The scribes and Pharisees shut up the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 23:13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. We should not aggressively withhold the word, but what about just failing to preach or teach it? Are you spreading the word? Sometimes I wonder if I'm spreading the word or not. But we can spread the word by our mouths, by our actions, by the example that we live. The world will watch that closer than they will hear it. A religion designed to please men, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, for do not persuade men or God. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. We can't serve men and serve Christ. We need to serve Christ by persuading men to follow him, follow Christ, to live as Christ did. He is the example. Doing the right thing for the wrong motive. This comes from Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of the Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrite do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. We don't need to get up and beat on our chests and jump up and down and be, hey, I'm giving you 2 cents and the whole world needs to see me giving you 2 cents. Well, 2 cents is just 2 cents. When you give something to somebody or give someone a helping hand, try to do it on a low key where maybe no one will even notice you did it. There's a lot of people here around this building that do a lot of different works, and none of them want to be patted on the back. They just want everyone to be happy with what's getting done and being done. They really don't want to be patted on the back just so the job gets done. Doing unauthorized things displeases God, like sprinkling, not eating meats on certain days, not to marry, pleasing yourself. In Romans 15, 1 through 3, we then ought to bear the iniquities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. All of our reproach, all of our sins fell on Christ, and he suffered for it. Things that God hates, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These are 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We need to have our brethren all on the same page. We need to encourage one another. We have an uphill battle with the world, and we need to show the world that we can work together, we can spread Christ's word together and be in harmony. Some of the things that please God: preaching the word. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. Most of the world thinks that the gospel is just a bunch of malarkey, a bunch of foolishness. Because it's too easy, it's too simple. Most men want to make it hard because they think God is hard. God is hard, but he is just. Jesus commanded that it be preached to every creature in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that applies to each and every one of us. We need to get the word out, to get people to understand what Christ is and God wants for us. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and doctrine. Are you pleasing to God? Joe always told us, study the word, read it. And that's one of the things we really do need to do, is study God's word. Doing good works. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Example of good works, Matthew's chapter 25, verses 35 through 36. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Today, our society has a lot of fear. We see someone walking along the road. We probably know he don't want to walk, but we're afraid to stop, pick him up. He's probably an axe murderer. He's got 10 guns in his back pocket. Well, chances are he's probably just a regular Joe like we are. His car broke down or whatever, and he's got to get to town or get help or do something. So we need to have a little bit more faith in God sometimes and just stop and pick that person up and give them that ride. Maybe even give them a dollar or two or what, $5 or something. Maybe it might help them out. But sometimes we do have to be careful, but you know, sometimes you got to have faith too. In James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, here again, you know, I don't think you don't really necessarily have to go to an orphanage to see the fatherless. Sometimes you got little kids running out and up and down the street out there. Just be nice to them. Be kind to them. You know, it don't hurt. It don't cost you a cent to be nice to anybody, but especially a little kid, as Jesus did by example. Who will be greatest in the kingdom of God? He that accepts, he who comes as a child with a child's loving and forgiving nature. We need to be like kids. My wife says I'm always a kid, but that's a different story. But sometimes we just need to be kind. God has ordained that we should walk in them. In Matthew, in his ordinances, Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are all workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, increasing in knowledge. Colossians 1, verse 10 again, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the work of truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Worshiping God in song and thanksgiving. In Psalms 69, verse 30 and 31, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox and bullock that have horns and hoofs. You know, we are a lot better than any animal out there. We are God's creatures. They are God's creatures too, but we have something that the animals don't have. We have a soul. Our dogs, they might be a good companion to us, our cats, all your cattle, our horses, but they don't have that soul. And that's something that we have, that God gave us, that separates us from those things. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. If our children don't obey us and pay attention to us, will they ever obey God? Will they ever pay attention to God? We need to teach that early. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Each and every one of us is responsible for our own soul. We have that free will. Jim, Tom, and I, we are responsible for what you are taught. But we are responsible for your soul. But you are responsible for your soul. We cannot make you believe. We cannot make you be baptized. That is your responsibility. We can see the urgency for these things and these decisions in everyone's life. But you have to make them. We can't make those decisions for you. You have to make them for yourself. And they are the most important decisions you'll ever make. If anyone here has a need to be baptized or need the prayers of the church, please come as we stand and sing. Tom leads us in song. Brother Tom.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me, if thou wilt heed my calling.
Well, thank Ernie for the fine lesson this morning. It takes a lot of studying and preparing for a lesson more than a lot of times we realize. Thank you for that. As we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, I'm going to sing, when we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. God so loved, what wondrous measure, loved and gave the best of heaven, bought us with that matchless treasure, yea, for us his life was given. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me. While we sup, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory.
I was going to say thank you, Ernie, for well done. And I see he's helping out again. That's one thing about this. Ernie, when you first started attending here, did you picture yourself up here doing this?
Absolutely not.
Same way with me. One of the greatest fears when they do surveys is public speaking. And it is. I think back when Marsh and I started attending here in 1972, never thought about being up here and doing the things we're doing today. That's what I want to encourage before we do communion this morning, to do what you can for the church. Develop things that you thought you couldn't do even. It happens. So, yeah. And something else you mentioned about Jess Nutter. You know, the phrase in the New Testament about your works do follow you. That's still talking about Jess Nutter today. So he was quite a preacher. I'd like to speak just a moment here before we take communion about something that was going on in the Corinthian Church of Christ. This is back first century, and Paul's trying to correct some wrong things. A lot of people today are teaching different things about worship, things going on in worship, and as Ernie mentioned in the sermon he brought forth, we're here to please God. So what was acceptable to God back in the first century that Christ brought, and what the apostles, and they were inspired, what they taught. And this is what Paul's teaching about the Corinthian church. There was a lot wrong there. I won't take the time to get into all of it right now, but they were not taking the communion correctly. It was incorrect. And Paul tries to correct that. And he actually had to write two letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, with all the things that were going on in that church at that time. So there, sometimes there are problems that we have to be brought back to the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it reads, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That word simplicity. Christ brought simplicity. It's easy to understand how to become a Christian. humans, ever since that time, have had tried to change the word of Christ. And most of the things they have added to it or taken away from it have made it more complicated. So that's something that was going on here. They were having a feast instead of having communion. And some of the things that are mentioned there that was going on, probably gluttony was mentioned there, drunkenness. Can't believe that was going on in something that was supposed to be Christian. So you see how far they were off from doing what the truth says. Paul gets them back. He brings them back to what Christ wanted. Do this in my memory. We just sang it. And I want to read his words here this morning, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when we come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And that's one of the lessons we had in Bible studies this morning, how important unity is. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So as we remember our Lord with these emblems, we are also supposed to be thinking at this time about our own selves. And that's something, again, that Bernie and I were talking about before service this morning. That is one of the harder things to do. Can we picture what God sees when he looks at us? We want to look around and point out all the problems and everybody else. And James talks about that too in his book and letter that he wrote about the mouth and the sins there and the fleshly sins. All these things, we disappoint God. You're talking about pleasing God today. That's a disappointment to God. Where sin is, God will not be. So to stay with God, we've got to get the sin out of our lives. This is a time for us to contemplate the things that we've done and try to see ourselves as we can, the best we can, and try to improve and repent of the things we have done and to make sure that we grow in our service to Christ. Because we have a loving Savior, he's willing to forgive us if we have that type of attitude. At this time, we're about to take the bread, which represents the body of Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee at this time for the great privilege that we have of being here this morning and worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that each thing we do will be according to your will. Now, as we're about to partake of this bread, help us to focus on the great sacrifice, the cost of our sins being forgiven, and that we have the great hope that we have of our souls living eternally in that heavenly home with thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Likewise, they took of the cup containing the fruit of the vines, which represents the precious blood of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this cup that represents our Lord's blood, that he was willing to sacrifice, suffer so much for us, Father. We pray, Father, that we might realize the cost of salvation, that we might live in accordance to your will all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we come to another act of worship or giving or offering. We realize to work as a church, it takes support in different things. So that can mean many things in giving to the church. We know financially we do have, in this society, we'd have to have money to operate. But there's many other things we can do for the church. We want to be aware of those and that we always have the giving heart that we should have. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come now thanking thee for the privilege of being a member in your church. We pray, Father, that we might strive to do the things that will help us to grow, that you'll be pleased with the church here at New Lexington. We pray that in the future we may be able to reach out to those round about us. We have friends and relatives and many around us, Father, that are not living and do not know thee. We pray, Father, that we might do and influence them to someday become a child of God. We pray now that you'd be with us in our giving, that we might do that also in pleasing you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we have the announcements. Mark.
I'd like to welcome everyone this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. And in way of announcements, we remember all the ones that's on our prayer list. We have a pretty lengthy list here of ones that has different things going on and ailments. And remember all of them in prayer. We want to remember our Bible study on Sunday morning at 9:45. And the ladies get together on the phone at 5 p.m. on Sunday evening, so I encourage that. Also, we remember our midweek service on Wednesday at 6:30. We're studying the book of Matthew on that night. Also, the ladies are still getting together on Saturday morning, every other Saturday, and the next one will be June the 7th. That'll be from 8:30 to 9:30 that morning. I encourage you to get on there for that, the women's devotion that morning. Also, we have the church youth group. They'll be getting together on June the 6th. That'll be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. here in our fellowship hall. Encourage you for that. Also, we have our area-wide sing coming up here, New Lex, here for June the 27th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. that night. Also, there's several events area in the area going on, and Holly has several of them in the bulletin, where the preacher's meeting in New Concord and several vacation Bible schools and different activities going on. Also, Pennsville, they're going to be starting to have their summer series where they're going to be having different visiting preachers coming in on Sunday evenings down there for their services. And I believe that's 6 o'clock, if I remember right. But I encourage you to come for that. You know, if you can go, I encourage you to go, because it was really nice to go to them last year when I went. I was able to go down there to them. And I'm planning on going to them this year. I think that's about everything I have. Is there any additions or corrections maybe I've overlooked? Or if there's not, we'll... I ask you to go ahead and stand, and then I'll ask Brother Tom, and we'll do a closing prayer.
I think we want to remember, I think this week coming up, Bernie and Brenda has an anniversary. So, good special couple. Remember them in your prayers and wish them a happy 50th, I believe.
50 years of Ronald's fall.
Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty Father, we thank you so much for sparing our lives today and being able to be here. We pray for those who are weak and not healthy, and that you'll help them get better. So many on our prayer list. We pray for mostly for the spiritual this week. Help them grow stronger. Help us all get stronger spiritually, God. And we want to thank you for our new people coming, young people, Dave and Reese. Thank you for them coming. Help them be here every time the doors open. And also Ben and Grace that's been coming. Help them come, keep coming, and help us as Christians, and we help them and grow in the Word. We pray, Father, that you'll guide us now. If there's anyone here who needs to be baptized, that they do so before it's too late. And we pray that you'll forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.